You will know what I'm talking about if you have a garden. You will know what I'm talking about if you have a lawn or a patch of grass or even just a pot plant. Weeds. I'm talking about weeds, and they're difficult to get rid of, aren't they? And some weeds even more so than others. I'm thinking particularly about the dandelion. Looks pretty, and you pull it up, and it's got a root. And you pull it up, and you look at it, and you look at the root, and you think, I think that's snapped off. There's a bit left. Today we're going to look at something that has very deep roots. We're going to look at loneliness. I was rather shocked at just how big a problem loneliness is in our society today, in the 21st century. We can be lonely because we don't have real friends. You know people, but we don't have friends. We can be lonely because the bit on our Facebook page that says in a relationship is blank. We can be lonely because we're not close to our family. We can be lonely because we don't connect with crowds of other people. We don't connect with our neighbours. We don't connect with people we see around us, workmates. We don't belong to any groups. We don't seem to have the same interests as other people. Lots of reasons that we can be lonely. And apparently it has a big effect, not just on how we feel, but it actually has an effect on our bodies. It actually raises our blood pressure significantly. And if we've got raised blood pressure, as you probably all know, that means you're at increased risks of having problems with your heart and your cardiovascular system. And if we're lonely, it actually affects the way that our bodies resist disease. It affects our immune system. It reduces our ability to cope with diseases. And if you put it in balance and say, what do all the effects on our bodies caused by loneliness add up to? Apparently they add up to more or less the same risk of increase of dying as does smoking. It's a really serious problem, loneliness. There's plenty of advice that we can get about how to deal with loneliness. I had a look on the internet and I found these useful things. Why don't you get a pet? If you have a pet, they say, it reduces your blood pressure. Well, at 6 o'clock this morning, when the cat woke me up wanting its breakfast, I didn't think it was helping my blood pressure. But it's well-meaning advice. Get a pet will help, maybe. Exercise. Get out and do something. Because if you're sitting at home moping, your problem's going to seem bigger and bigger. So exercise, yes, that's good advice. Take up a hobby. Do something. Do something with the time that you're sitting there moping and feeling miserable. Take up a hobby. That's some advice. And you sort of think, well, I think it's a bit like the dandelion. You're kind of pulling at the leaves here. This isn't really going to do anything other than distract you and take your mind off the problem. It's not actually going to solve the problem of why do I feel lonely. And then we get other advice. Why don't you make some friends? Look, if I could make friends, I wouldn't be lonely. Why don't you go out more? Who am I going to go out with? And you sort of think, well, I've heard useful advice before. Here's some useful advice. Are you struggling to make ends meet? Why don't you try having a bit more money? You want to make friends? Well, it's easy, really, for some people. You just got to go up and say hello to someone. Works every time for me. What's your problem? So we have this advice, but none of these pieces of advice are actually in the Bible. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about feeling lonely? So, wonderful thing you can do with the internet, you can type in the word lonely on Bible Gateway, and it will tell you how many verses in the Bible have the word lonely in them. This version of the Bible that we're using, and the answer is 4. So you're all smiling because you think this is going to be a short sermon. John's only found four verses about loneliness in the Bible. And you'll be smiling even more when I tell you that two of them, the New Testament ones in Mark and Luke, are about a lonely place. And it talks about Jesus went out to a lonely place. He went out to a lonely place to pray, because that was a good place to pray. He wasn't going to be distracted. And it's a good point for me to make that being alone and being lonely aren't the same thing. We're going to be thinking tonight about meditating on God's word, biblical meditation. That's something that is much easier to do when we're alone. And being alone isn't bad and doesn't necessarily make us lonely. And as you probably know, we can feel lonely when we've got lots of people around. It's not the same thing, being alone and being lonely. Jesus went out to a lonely place to pray. The other New Testament reference is Jesus went to a lonely place because there were so many crowds of people, it was getting out of hand. He didn't want them to make him king. That wasn't his plan. So he went to a lonely place, and then smaller numbers of people came to meet with him. So there's two of the verses about loneliness. Let's have a look at that first one on the list, though. Let's have a look at Psalm 60, the first one there, Psalm that tells us about being lonely. Psalm 25. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. So here's the psalmist, and he's feeling lonely. And so he's pouring out his heart to God, and he's asking God to be gracious because he is lonely, because he's feeling afflicted. He wants God to relieve the troubles of his heart and free him from his anguish, to look on his affliction and his distress. And it doesn't really tell us about how we're going to solve the problem of being lonely, apart from it says we can pray. We don't have to sit there thinking, this is an impossible problem, I can't cope with it, I can't do anything about it, I've tried everything. We have something we can do. We can pray. And we can be brutally honest with God. And we can pray and say, turn to me. Be gracious to me. I am lonely and afflicted. But as I say, it doesn't really tell us how we're going to overcome loneliness. And I began to wonder if feeling lonely is like a dandelion, that it has actually a very deep root, and that maybe when I'm looking for the word lonely in the Bible and only finding four verses, it's because loneliness is like the yellow flower at the top. And actually the verses in the Bible that I should be looking for are the verses to do with the roots. Where does loneliness come from? And so I started to research, you know, this subject of loneliness. And I found somebody's done a lot of research, 6 years' worth of research, into looking at what she calls connectedness. And somebody called Brené Brown spent a long time saying, you know, we as humans, we need to connect with one another. We need to make meaningful relationships. And how's that happen? What's the difference between people who successfully make connections with other people and others who feel lonely and just apart and isolated? What is the difference? Can I do some research? Can I talk to different sorts of people? Can I put them in two categories, the connected and the lonely? And can I find what's the difference between those groups of people? And it's a long story, but after 6 years, she sort of came to the conclusion that the biggest single difference between people who are connected and people who are isolated is that connected people feel worthy of love they feel worthy of belonging. They don't have a problem with somebody else loving them. They don't have a problem with belonging. They approach everything in the basis that, hey, we can get along. We can join together. And people who are lonely have inside a feeling that, you know, if you really knew me, it's a bit like Groucho Marx once said, I wouldn't want to join a club that would have me as a member. And there's a grain of truth in that people feeling, I'm not sure anybody, if they really got to know what I was like, would want to be my friend. I'm not sure that I'm worthy to belong. I'm not the same as other people. Maybe I don't look as attractive as other people. Maybe I'm not as fun and funny as other people. And you wouldn't want to know me. And that, she said, was the biggest single difference between people who feel able to make connections and people who don't and are lonely. And she said, more than that, lonely people feel it's not something that they don't know how to do. You know, they're not good at telling jokes. They're not good at you know, small talk or something like that. They actually feel that it's not what they do. It's actually who they are. That they themselves are not have done something bad or have not got something that they should have. They actually are bad. They are actually defective. There is something wrong with them. And that's what lonely people feel. And now if we have a look at that verse in the psalm, we see it says something else that maybe we didn't pick up on first. Yes, it says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. But it also says, God, take away all my sins. And if we are feeling bad, and we are feeling we are bad people, then we can pray to God, God, take away all my sins. And that, I think, is one of the big roots of loneliness, that we actually feel we are bad, we are not lovable, there's something wrong with us. And we can pray to God and say, God, take away all my sins. So this is beginning to make an answer as to what does the Bible say to us about not just loneliness, but the root of loneliness. This researcher, Brené Brown, said connected people feel worthy of love and belonging. And then she went into that in more detail and found that connected people are people who have the strength, are willing to be vulnerable, willing to open up, and to be the first to say, I love you. People who are lonely worry that if they say, I love you first, and the other person says, tough, that they're just going to be worse off than when they started. So they're worried about being rejected. And when I thought about having the strength to say, I love you first, I thought, well, the Bible's got a lot to say about that. Because the Bible tells us that this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loves us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The Bible has a lot to say. The Bible says this. Jesus, in account of Jesus, it says that this man who is despised and rejected, towards the end of his life, he was saying, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you, my disciples, will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. He was despised and rejected, but God was with him. He knew that. My Father is with me. I am with you always, Jesus said to his disciples as he left them. I am with you always to the very end. I am with you. Cast all your anxiety on him, said Peter, because he cares about you. We are not lonely and unloved and uncared for. He cares for us. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. By him we cry, Abba, Father. And this is the fourth verse that I showed you at the beginning, the other verse from Psalm 68. God sets the lonely in families. God does not leave us alone. God is the God who is there. God is with us. Now, if there are two groups of people, those who are lonely and those who are connected, maybe most of what I've been saying so far has been aimed at those people who are lonely. I want to talk to those people who feel that they are connected and say to you, well, how are we going to help the lonely? What can we do to help those who are lonely? We had that reading from Ecclesiastes. Pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Alan, I'm grateful to you for the letter that you wrote. The other Sunday, April the 5th, I gave out the notice about the death of Elizabeth Richards, aged 56, whom several people in this church knew about through Tuesday Break, Coffee Pot, Ladies Recharge, and so on. But she had very few friends, possibly fewer than five in the town. In the 1980s, when Alan first met her, she'd been working as a nursing auxiliary and rented a house jointly with three other young women. As time went by, they split up. The others left the town, and Elizabeth took a council flat in Langley. Mental health issues led to her having to give up paid employment, though she had worked as a volunteer for many years at the Cancer Research Shop in Park Street, and recently spent increasing periods of time in Somerset supporting her aged parents. She used her disabled bus pass to great effect, travelling widely, building up a knowledge of public transport, but always on her own. She occasionally took coach tours without making any great friends on the bus. She was a customer of charity shops across southern England and a voracious reader. She went to the Easter service on Easter Day, where she was photographed in an Easter bonnet. No one saw her after that until the following Friday, when she was discovered dead. No one had missed her for 5 days. And Alan writes, I feel strongly that the Lord is saying to us, things like this should not happen. Within the body of Christ, that is the church, we should have a lively, caring network that prevents anyone known to us from failing, falling, or lying unknown and unnoticed, solitary in their pain. Two are better than one. If one falls, the other can help them and lift them up. If we are feeling that we are not, fortunately, one of those lonely people, let us think, what is God asking us to do to help those who are? What do we need to do? Well, I think we need to understand what it is that lonely people need most of all. There's a verse in Romans that says this, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Lonely people feel the problem is that they're not accepted, that they're rejected, and even if they reach out and try and make the first move and say, I love you first, they'll be rejected. We need to show that we accept them just as Christ has accepted us, and so bring praise to God. We need to encourage the disheartened, to help the weak, to be patient with everyone. It's not necessarily going to be a snap cure. We just say some magic words to these lonely people and that fixes them. Be patient with them all. God created us to be connected to him and to be connected to one another. God has made the first move. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You and I are loved by God. One of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. We are no longer lonely.